agenda item number 16 pertaining to the relaying of condemned shellfish. Dr. Wesson.
Yes, we covered a lot of this morning, so I won't repeat some of the things. But here we're talking about, this morning we were talking about where you can relay. Now we're talking about the relay process itself, which is where you take shellfish out of restricted waters, not prohibited waters, condemned restricted, and through the process that we have with fisheries and Department of Shellfish Sanitation and law enforcement, there's a procedure to relay shellfish. You harvest them, transport them, and put them in a clean area for depuration. And after whatever time period, kind of depends during the warm weather season, it can be 30 days, but generally it's 15 days if you follow within the warm weather restrictions, and then the shellfish are free for safe for consumption. This is the general picture of relaying in the past 4 years. The little bit of blue there is the amount of relay that we've done in relation to our total harvest. And here we're talking about, for oysters, this is entirely private that we're talking about, and this would be the grounds, as you saw this morning, that were already in place. And so we're down to about 0.5% of our harvest are being relayed. And it is, it's a very regulated process, takes a lot of law enforcement to keep up with it. At the same time that we have a very big fishery that is in the clean areas and needs to be monitored at the same time. And before I forget, while you were out, I set two blue additions up there in front of you. One was a letter from FDA about what we're doing, and a regulation that we didn't include, the 1090, where we just have to we have to add something to that, so it's make your packet complete. This is the relay harvest just in what's been reported over the past 4 years. The blue area blown up in that figure before. About 3,000 bushels being relayed last year. Clam relay is also allowed, but we're really not talking about that right now. Most of our clam relay is on public, and this just shows that for clam harvest, today our clam harvest comes off private ground from clean areas from agriculture, and the public is a very, very small percentage of the population, and any relaying would be in that small amount of that blue area. The percentage of clams that are relayed is even smaller than the oysters. And again, this is of the total clam harvest, it's down to less than 0.5%. And that's, again, the trend in relaying for clams, and this is public. So all the days that are involved when we're doing relay require law enforcement time. And what we're talking about in this regulatory change is a change in our procedure where we've been working in our system where the relayer contacts us and the health department and says they want to work at a certain time doing relays off their private ground. And basically we are then working with them to be available whenever they are want to do it. Law enforcement is pretty much on call when they've got their relay permit, and they go out, and if they're told that the guy wants to relay on a certain day, that they have to make arrangements with their schedules that they had to cover that relay activity, because it's supposed to be covered from start to finish. If that thing I just handed out from Bob O'Connell, he makes it very plain in there that you're supposed to follow the relay activity from harvest through transportation to going in open area to through the entire purging period to the areas the shellfish are clean and can be picked up again. So it's it's a very labor-intensive process for law enforcement to be available. And it's not so much labor-intensive as just that it is disruptive if you're not prepared for it and how to set your schedules up. Last year, you can see the past 2 years, it's very small number of events we're getting down to, about 80 events last year. That's 80 days when a person said they wanted a relay and law enforcement had to be available. And that, sometimes that could have been two or three guys on one of those days, or there could have just been one day. And if you happen to be in an area like the southern area down here, and you had three people say that they wanted to do relay, and then the southern area has to scramble and find three law enforcement officers to follow that activity. Virginia has always been very, very good about working with our industry on relaying. In comparison to other states, Maryland doesn't allow leasing in condemned areas. North Carolina, if you have a lease in condemned area, a lease that's in a clean area again, it becomes condemned. They don't let you keep the lease. So we've always allowed the relaying. We've been very accommodating, and it's pretty much on the taxpayer and VMRC's dime that the private material is being relayed. So what we have proposed in this regulatory change is both a way to streamline the process that in the long run could be good for the relayer, but for VMRC in order to be able to better use the time available for law enforcement guys to be monitoring clean areas in the percentage that it should be, and so they can relay on days when they actually have time. And the procedure will be that you will actually come to the office, Conservation Replenishment Office, my part of Fisheries Management, and we'll have an application. We'll also have this application online very shortly that they'll be able to do for the process. And you fill out all the particulars on where you want to relay from, where you want to relay to, and we get all of that straight with the health department and our staff to make sure that the lease has been, the rent's been paid for, that you have the proper dredging permits, that you have your agricultural permits, all the things that law enforcement normally has to check on, that we'll do that for them in our department. And then we are suggesting that there will be a fee for that permit, a daily permit fee, which's been in your packets, $150 per day. And then once you have gotten your permit, you paid the amount that you owe for the amount of days that you want to do, then you take that permit and you contact the supervisor for law enforcement and at least a week in advance so they can set schedules for you. And if they know it's coming, they're always accommodating to work with people. They can set their days to make sure that if they need 2 days on that morning, two people on that morning, they'll have two people, and they'll have people available to do the other things they need to do at the same time rather than be sprung upon them that they have to respond to the relaying like we've been doing. And that's really the three parts, the little parts in it, but it's 1 day permits, $150 per day being suggested, and that you make the arrangements once you get the permit, you then arrange with law enforcement to set up your schedule. In the letter from the FDA, they're very concerned with the workload that we have here, the Marine Police, to be able to keep up with the fishery that's gotten as large as it is, knowing that they have other duties besides shellfish. And, we get graded on our ability to do by the FDA and ISSA, be able to do the relay program as well as to have all the things that we do for Vibrio control that we do with the warm water stuff. And he's made very clear that, in this letter that, the failure to be able to keep up with these things would, potentially lower our grade in their assessments of our ability to monitor those things. We also have the second blue part that's added was in 1090 that we just had to go into that regulation and add a sentence that, that added a fee for, with all the other licenses and fees, for the daily relay permit. So, any questions?
The questions from the commission? Yes, sir, Zedrin.
I think you kind of put it real lightly here, but the letter that I've got says, number one, it says the authority is the state's authority, so that's us, must develop and maintain an effective program to control harvests. I can see how that does what you said. Transport's no big deal. Replanting, I guess you just throw them overboard. Here's the one. It says security of the shell stock until the end of the complete activity to prevent shell stock from being illegally diverted and directed to marketing. How do we do that? Do we have somebody sit there 24/7?
No, we have our normal patrols that law enforcement does, and the in the relay procedure, you have to flag the areas with a yellow flag that shows that that area is off limits for harvest through the entire time that they're in the depuration stage.
Who keeps the time limit?
We keep the time. Each, it kind of varies. If you want to be catch oysters and put them in a container, the container is sealed by law enforcement. It remains closed for 15 days if you get done by the curfew period, and then they actually open the seal when we get a notice from the health department, because when they're sealed, the health department gets notice that they've been sealed, and the health department has to release them. For the people that most of the people doing oysters now are do it loose on the bottom, and they get a ticket for each day that they do the activity, and that's sent to the health department. But if they continue to add to an area, the clock doesn't start ticking until 15 days after the last group of oysters goes into that clean area that they've designated. And so it's a pretty carefully monitored process that once law enforcement is involved with the harvest to the relaying, and then they know where the plot is, then you know to be watching that plot for the activity.
All right, here's the next question. In paragraph 1, 2, 3, at the end of paragraph 3, it says, failure to do so, which is what I just read earlier, failure to do so could result in the inability of Virginia shellfish dealers to sell shellfish products across state lines.
Absolutely.
So are we not kind of jeopardizing the graph over here where you got 500,000 bushels of oysters for a minor part of the industry that does this relay?
I mean, we don't think so. I mean, we've had a very good relay program for years and years, and but there are definitely holes in it that we're trying to patch right now to make sure it's better, even better than it was.
That's all I have.
Ms. Hurston.
Jim, the $150 fee, there was no fee associated with the activity prior. So what does the $150, what's the reasoning behind the $150 or the fee in general?
Well, a lot of states charge fees for doing relays. I mean, the Gulf actually makes the relayer pay for an observer to be on board with them. And it has to be a law enforcement officer, retired or otherwise. And other, Texas, they'll do theirs in a very limited time period. They'll say for a month you can do nothing but relay. You close the clean activity altogether, and you just do relaying. When we went through this, and the code doesn't allow us to do to have observers or to pay for that sort of system, and we just try to come up with a reasonable price that, you know, we know it's several hundred dollars per day of law enforcement time, and you know, we batted about a lot of different dollar amounts and ended up settling on $150 a day. And $150 a day is, I mean, we have a lot of relayers that do 8 or 10 bushels. So, you know, you're tying up law enforcement officer a lot for such a small amount. Where if you do it efficiently and you catch $150 to $300, 300 bushels a day, then $150 is just 50 cents or a dollar a bushel added to your cost. And so part of it is to deter the small activities that were tying up time, to make them more efficient. You know, if they only can do 8 a day or 10 a day, then hire 2 or 3 people to work that day and get it all done in one day rather than getting it done in a week or two. So
that's just a follow-up. So I guess the fee is in part to cover some of the expenses, but it's not going to cover all of the expenses.
The fees actually get a deposit to the Marine Improvement Fund that is a commercial fund that we have. So,
but also you said that it may deter some of those smaller kind of quantities,
yes,
of product going overboard. Would that be better served in a bond, you know, where somebody that has the right intent of conducting relay would put up a bond to ensure the proper activity, or is that something that staff
much
consider?
More complicated for us to do than a fee.
Okay.
In the quantities that we've gotten into.
Any other questions, Dr. Weston? Mr. Zeta?
What is their annual budget item for this kind of relay services? How much are we spending?
I don't think we've calculated it. Law enforcement have to answer that. So.
The reason I bring it up is, it, of course, we're concerned about the budget, and it sounds like me that we're spending a lot of law enforcement time and money on this, and the question is that what we need to look to cut our budget down if we have to?
Marie, please tell me that they spent 1,000 man hours on relaying activities last year, supervising relaying. And as Dr. Weston just pointed out here, less than 3,000 bushels of oysters. I know the average Marine police officer's salary is $25 and change an hour, but we don't pay them all that well. It doesn't include fringe benefits.
And we ain't talking about the boat and the fuel and everything else either, are we?
Nope.
And I understand from talking to him earlier, a lot of states don't do this, right? Like North Carolina doesn't do it, and Maryland doesn't.
At this point, this seemed like to be the best way to find out how serious people are about doing relaying. That if we can work with this more efficiently by law enforcement being able to manage their time better, then it's a good transition to find out. If it continues to go away, then that's just a real part of what the industry is doing. I mean, it used to be a very big, relaying used to be very big, and now it's gotten smaller and smaller.
Mr. Bailey.
I echo those sentiments. I think it's a good first step, and to be clear, my company does not relay, so I have no interest in this. But I would be worried if we eliminated the relay program altogether, the incentives that would be out there to take these shellfish from the condemned areas without doing the relay process. Now we do have at least an avenue they can go down. I do think you're right that we need to make it a little bit more user pay oriented than it is now. But it's a good first step, and we can evaluate it going forward.
You know, I think it came out this morning in some of the discussion that there hasn't been an incident, you know, with regards to the relay program. It's been very effective, and it is a component, albeit a small one, of the industry, and probably an important one to maintain. You know, done properly, it can be effective.
Before we move forward here, Mr. Hull has a housekeeping technical amendment to the regulation.
Yeah, sorry for not pointing this out earlier, but in 1290.40, subsection D, we have a provision that says that any persons whose various licenses and permits are currently revoked or rescinded pursuant to 282.232 shall not be authorized to possess a daily restricted shellfish area relay permit. We can also revoke licenses and permits pursuant to 282.528. So we just want to add 28.2232 or 282.528 of the Code of Virginia to that section.
Okay. Everyone up to speed on that?
Yeah.
Any other questions to Dr. Wessey? Mr. Skiles, would you come forward, please, here and explain this from the Health Department's perspective and the National Shellfish Sanitation Program requirements?
I'll do my best.
State your name for the record, because Kathy's
Skiles
recording
with the Department of Health and the Shellfish Sanitation Program. VDH and VMRC share the oversight responsibility for the relay program. We do the water quality work and contaminant reduction studies, and we set the release dates based on whether they're in compliance with their summer harvest controls or not. That's the main reason that we trigger a longer release date. Relay's been done for quite a while. It does work, but you have to make sure that the process is seen through. We need to make sure there's enough oversight to assure that the process goes through. So, you know, our main concern would be that there's enough oversight to see that, you know, that what we expect to occur occurs. You know, in the Health Department, we have our oversight requires a lot less staff time, so it isn't as big a deal for us. But I do understand the requirements for the oversight of the harvest, and so we can appreciate that and would support anything that will assure that that part of the process is followed through.
Are there ramifications here for being out of compliance with an SSP?
As was mentioned earlier, if we are found significantly out of compliance with the NSSP, it could potentially affect our ability to ship in interstate commerce.
Mr. Hull, you want anything on the record involving human health?
No.
Okay. Any questions, Mr. Skiles? Thank you, sir. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody who wish to be heard? Please come forward, ma'am. Melzer, welcome back.
Thank you. I'd like to know if a regulatory flexibility analysis was done for 224007.1. It's an analysis on any kind of regulation that's going to affect small businesses in a large manner, and this is. $150 a day for me would be devastating. My boat won't carry 150 bushels hardly sometimes, unless I have my big boat, which will carry 100 bushels. You know, in fact, 10,000 bushels will carry a lot. But the problem is $150 a day. When you move seed oysters, you only pay $2 a day for a bushel. If you're selling your oysters to somebody who needs the oysters, you only make $2 a day. If I'm doing 150 bushels a day, you're asking me to give up 50% of my money. You know, I understand you don't want to move these oysters, but once again, it's our resource, and it is a resource that we utilize. I understand that it states that they weren't utilized very much. Last year, I had a contract to move 30,000 bushels, and my ground was not opened on time because it was not brought to survey. It was not brought anywhere. And then once it did come forth that I was able to get my husband received Mill Creek, there were rumors that were sent out that, you know, polluted oysters were being sold on our markets, which is not true. Our Department of Shellfish is the responsible party to make sure that doesn't happen. It did not happen. It has not happened. And if you make an increase and charge people a permit for $150, how many people do you think that are moving oysters illegally are going to even think to call you? I can guarantee you that it's going to cause more of a problem, but not fix a problem. Those who are law-abiding citizens that are doing it correctly are going to continue to do it correctly, no matter what you do. But those who have a bad character are going to steal polluted oysters and move them if you add this. I really worry about it. But like, again, I said, would be devastating as a small business and as a small, you know, that is a large amount of an increase to request of us, especially since this is one of the things that is in the statutes that is your duty and responsibility. And I go back to that again, that support activities, enforcing health laws pertaining to the harvesting of seafood from the condemned areas. you are funded for that under the state constitution.
Anything else, Admin? Any questions from the commission? Mr. Hall?
Yeah, just to quickly address the flexibility question about the small businesses under, that's a provision in the Administrative Process Act and the regulations article, and pursuant to 2.24006A11, the Marine Resources Commission is exempt from the requirements of the APA and the promulgation of regulations. So we, we're not required to do that analysis. That's about it.
Now, from what I've seen on that, you are exempt in the wetlands areas only.
No, ma'am. It's, again, 2002-4006A says the following agency actions otherwise subject to this chapter and Section 2.24103 of the Virginia Register Act shall be exempted from the operation of this article. And if you go down to number 11, it says regulations of the Marine Resources Commission. So it's in any area.
But this is not a regulation. This is a permit.
It's a regulation establishing a permit, ma'am.
Okay. It still would be devastating for every waterman out here.
Yeah. Mr. Erskine.
Jim, how many relay events were last year?
69 electors.
69 events?
That's 70 clam, but the clam were all just relaying out of the public.
So you had 69 oyster relaying events last year. And the other question I had was the graph you showed about the number of bushels was about 3,000 in 2014, but it was much higher in preceding years. Why?
Not much higher, but I mean it's never been more than.
I thought in 2011 it was almost 100,000 bushels.
Oh.
No? No. Okay, I misread something. Sorry. Oh, 10,000 bushels. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Certainly.
It's a long time since you have. Honorable Commissioner and Governor appointees, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, and I'm only going to take 2 minutes of your time.
Please state your name for the record, sir.
My name is John DeMaria, and since the 70s, we have been relaying oysters and shells to and from my private beds with no charges imposed by VMRC. The following procedures have been followed or are established by the National Shellfish Sanitation Program with latitude granted to the states on how to administer it. A daily permit is obtained and harvest takes place. At completion of the harvest, VMRC is notified via cell, and we are then allowed to leave the harvest area and proceed to the permitted relay area. When VMRC arrives at that permitted relay area, we are allowed to plant the oysters and shells. Since the 4th of this month, I've received 12 permits to relay 300 bushels on each of those days. The rate of pay to the harvesters is $2 per bushel. This is for shells and oysters mixed. If a charge of 100, which is diminishes from what you got there, per permit is imposed, that will diminish my financial ability to relay 50 bushels of oysters and shells per day. This will negatively impact the four watermen relaying as well as the supply of product for DeMaria Seafood. VMRC staff advised me at last week's oyster advisory meeting that they are interested in maximizing relayed oyster production and that relaying comprises, I know I'm hearing something different, but Jim had said 0.4% to 4% of total annual oyster production in the state of Virginia. I want to bring this to your attention because the advisory committee is being supplied with information indicating it will be necessary to impose harvest reduction on public beds this year due to poor recruitment of oysters as well as the increase in harvesting effort. Prudent stewardship would not diminish the financial abilities of private sector to maximize optimum yield of oysters on private leases, especially when you consider there will be a reduction in quota imposed on harvest on public beds this year. That's it. you got any questions?
Any questions to Mr. DeMaria? Thank you, sir.
Like he told you, 69 permits is all that was issued last year. This is, it, and when BMRC comes to my oyster bed and we get ready to plant them in the designated area that's surrounded with yellow flags, it takes them about an hour, hour and a half to watch that process go on. They're in the same river that all the oyster ground exists that they watch to make sure no poaching is exists. That's the whole James River.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Please come forward, Mr. Johnson.
I hope you all will bear with me because you had beat me down today. It's been a long day sitting here, as I'm sure it has for you. I would like to ask that you not vote favorably on this proposed regulation change. Relaying has been going on for a long time. We used to relay a lot of clams when the area in front of the shipyard was condemned. It worked very smoothly. It worked very easily. We had a good relationship with the officers. We had a time when we were going to be there, and we were there within 5 or 10 minutes, depending on how the tide was running, and they were there in 5 or 10 minutes around the designated time. It was efficient. It was easy. It was a good relationship. The officers were on the water. They could see what was going on and other aspects of it. A couple of times when they were waiting on us, they were pulling crab pots to see if they had cholera in them, just different types of things. It was a good system, and it worked. I think in the purpose of this, that was this document, the draft document, it said the proposed stated purpose is to promote brood stock and to protect the public health. Now, we haven't heard too much about that, and I wasn't here this morning for the presentation, but I haven't heard too much about that.
We heard a lot about that this morning.
Well, you know, there's two things that you can bring up, public health and brood stock, and you get everybody's attention, and everybody starts really not running scared, but it gets everybody's attention. Now, Mr. Skiles has assured us that there's not a public, never has been, a public health issue. The FDA was here, I believe, in the early part of the middle of April to evaluate and grade your shellfish sanitation. They got, as I understand it, they got excellent mark for that, Mr. Skiles. You want to ask him to confirm that. As far as a broodstock issue goes, Dr. Mann's research, it was published not too long ago in the Shellfish Journal, has said that there's a big misconception with sanctuaries and broodstock areas. They need to be in close proximity to the area that they are serving. Larvae doesn't travel as far as everybody once thought. He puts it at tens to hundreds of meters. So in my area, way up Nansemond, there's not that all of it doesn't help, but it's not that big an issue. At your April meeting, you passed the regulation to not lease any more ground in the condemned areas. So, in fact, you have created broodstock areas and all that bottom that is not being leased, if that even is an important factor here. Again, if y'all will bear with me, if, again, not to be critical, but I believe that your April meeting could have been March. You had some repeat offenders here for working in the condemned area. You almost worked backwards to get them out of it. And if the public health issue is a real issue, I don't know why they are still being allowed to work. It's very counterproductive to what the supposed purpose is here. I wrote this down on the boat this morning, so it's kind of hard for me to find it. I think the proposed fee is just, I mean, it's outrageous to charge $150. I know you said somewhere around 1,000 hours. Well, did the quick math back there. If you divide 69 into 1,000, that's 14.45 hours per permit, which is it's totally unrealistic. It almost seems to me like you're asking people, well, it's commiserate to asking people to pay the fire department to come put out the fire for the police department to come investigate a break-in. It's what they're charged with. It's what the commission is charged with. They're on the water. Again, I appreciate what they do. Not in any way besmirching law enforcement, but I don't think that the $150 fee is anywhere near fair or equitable. Some of the conditions that have been put on this are extremely burdensome. Having to let them know a week in advance, then them organize or developing a time frame in which you can do this. It's very difficult if you haven't worked on the water, but everybody plans for a week out, a month out, and a year out, but there are things that come along that just change those plans. So to have to do that, then to have to pay for the permit in advance for the number of days you intend to move those, that product, if you pay for 5 days and you don't move them for four, what happens to the money? Because I know you do. BMRC does not have a very good conduit for, it's a complicated process to get money back. So some of the unintended consequences of this thing, I think, are going to be very far-reaching. I hope that you will give it a lot of thought and consideration before you do it. Again, the program we have isn't broken. So to just go back and revisit it, I hate to be cynical, but sometimes it seems to me that this is just it's a backdoor attempt to stop all the relaying and to make sanctuaries out of all the condemned areas. If VMRC could work more closely with DEQ, Bureau of Shellfish Sanitation, maybe we could get some of these areas open. Last year in the Nansemond, they closed about 700 acres, 250 to 300 of it were mined. The samples that they took moved the line downstream. Well, I was catching 40-plus bushels in this piece of ground on August 1st. On August 2nd, I couldn't work there anymore. So that product is laying there. It can't lay there for so long before it's going to die. Disease is going to revisit us again. I hate to say that, but I do feel that's coming. So, I mean, you can't let the product lay there forever. That's counterproductive as well. So, and in most areas, I'm not a big climate change person, but sea level is rising in this area. I think nobody can argue that, what the cause is. But as sea level rises, it pushes the salt water level further upstream. And the further upstream you go in most areas in the Commonwealth, you're starting to back the most productive oyster areas up against the condemnation line. And sooner or later in the next few years, if that condemnation line comes down any, or that productive area, when I say productive, because the salinities are the best for raising oysters, they're the best for disease resistance, because as we all know, the incidence and virulence of disease is directly determined by the salinity. So it puts us in a position, it's very, very, very hard to deal with. I think that is about all I had to say, and I know it's kind of rambling. I know I'm very poor. Oh, one more point I would like to make. I know last year the General Assembly had no taste for any fee increases whatsoever in any type of legislation that was proposed to them by BMRC. And that was from both sides of the aisle. That wasn't Republican, Democrat. Last year, in the end of July, the 1st of August, at the governor's mansion, my son and a gentleman that works for us went up there to a oyster trail kickoff thing where they had an oyster tasting and everything. The governor said there, of course, talk is cheap, but he did say that he wanted to make Virginia, it was his goal to make Virginia not only the biggest oyster producing state in the country, but in the world. Now, I know that is a very lofty goal, but with measures like this coming along that make things more restrictive, more expensive, more difficult, I wonder if he knows what goes on at this level, or if he does, how he intends to achieve the goals that that he has set forth. Oysters are about twice the price they were 3 years ago. Three or four years ago, it wasn't economically very good to practical to move condemned oysters. You had to catch them twice. You had the double fuel cost. You had the double labor cost. Well, now that they are the price that they are, it makes it much more attractive. I think it's something that would put more oysters on the market, increase the Commonwealth's revenue. Supposedly, that's what we're all about. And finally, I know you've heard a lot, had a lot of law read to you today, and I'm certainly not an attorney, but I think in looking at this, I think 28.2201 is what gives you the authority to promulgate regulation. But if you look at, a little further at 28.203, paragraph 1, it says conservation, and this gives 28.201 kind of gives you the the ability to promulgate. 203 gives you the charge with under which you can promulgate a regulation. And it says conservation and management measures shall prevent overfishing while achieving the optimum yield from each fishery. And it says the quote optimum yield of a fishery means the amount of fish or shellfish which will provide the greatest overall benefit to the Commonwealth, with particular reference to commercial fishing, for food production, and for recreational fishing. And if you look at paragraph 7, it says conservation and management measures shall, where practicable, minimize regulatory burdens which inhibit innovation, expansion, and normal business operation. And I think this particular regulation fits both of those as being burdensome and over-regulatory. Again, I know I'm not a good speaker. If I created any questions, I wouldn't be surprised, and I'd be glad to answer them.
Any questions, Mr. Johnson, from the commission?
Thank you all for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Does anybody else in the audience wish to be heard on this matter? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Erskine.
Well, again, I'd recognize that this shellfish relay program is important to the state and it's important to industry. I understand that we haven't had an issue in the past. I think the people that have testified conduct their operations properly, clearly. Otherwise, you all wouldn't be here. There's a concern, I think, as staff has said, with some of the smaller volumes that might be going out there, and the fact that the patrol activity may not have been where the NSSP and FDA would like to see it. So I think there's a concern, it sounds like, on the smaller volumes that may be moved. I understand the issue with the fee and the schedule as far as with law enforcement is possibly burdensome to the industry and certainly a change. So I'd be interested in the other commissioners' perspectives on this.
I'll point out one thing here. The Marine Police are under commandment from me as their top priority to stop the oyster poaching. That's their top commandment at this point. And I've heard from plenty of industry members, including a number of them here in this room, that that is their top priority as well. There's a bit of a disconnect, however, when the Marine Police tell me that there are days in the summer last year when half of the available police force has been dedicated to relaying activities. I have a hard time here telling the Marine Police that they got to stop all the oyster poaching out there, but go and spend 5 hours of your day here on relaying. I would like to see the relaying system more efficient. If we have operations that tie up 2 or 3 hours for the Marine Police, and we're relaying a dozen, 15, 20 bushels of oysters, it seems to me that there's members in the industry that don't take this as seriously about effectiveness and efficiency. It seems to me inefficient here to use the Marine Police, sworn law enforcement officers, and hours of their time here that could be spent on other things than relaying a dozen or 15 bushels of oysters. That's just my perspective from the 30,000-foot level. Mr. Zeter.
I would echo both of your comments here. I think, you know, we would all like to benefit from government paying everything, but when I got this letter here that talked about failure to do so could result in the inability of the Virginia shellfish dealers to sell shellfish products across state lines. I mean, to me, it's really important we do this right, because it's going to take that chart showing 500 bushels of oysters for the period it represents could be gone tomorrow if they find that we haven't complied with their regulations. And part of that is the realistic part that somebody's got to pay for it. And you know, I pay licenses too. I'm a recreational charter captain myself. But, you know, I think you got to look at what's happening, and you got to do what you got to do. And in today's economy, we need a little help. Actually, I thought this was a little low, because, you know, by the time you take that boat out there and put the fuel in it and the oil and the time and that type of thing, and it's a lot more than this $150. And so I support what the commissioners have said here, and I think it's real reasonable.
Other comments? And then the commission operates on motions.
It seems to me like there are maybe two issues in this. I mean, I know there are three parts to it, with the daily permit, and the seems to be there is already a permit in place, but a fee, and then a schedule that's worked out with law enforcement. Hearing the comments, I wonder if it's at this time maybe more important to get a handle on making the process as efficient as possible for the industry and continuing to not charge a fee and get the schedule correct and have a daily permit. I mean, the fee at this point is 150, and you had 69 events, or 69 days, I guess. So it's not quite the moneymaker, I wouldn't think.
Time issue.
Mr. Neal.
It's a time issue and a limited police force. Right? And so, you know, the rationale of the fee is really not as a moneymaker. It's a deterrent to I would call it a waste of time. A more polite would be the inefficient use of time kind of thing. So that's what the fee is there for. It's really not make money, or even really to defray costs, is to stop small transfers or frivolous transfers. And so, you know, the other way around it would be to require a minimum amount of bushels. And if they don't require, they don't transfer, you know, make them transfer large amounts. And if they don't, then you could do a fine structure to deter the overburdening. You go that route, but the staff is recommending a fee to deter, basically the deterrent of these small, inefficient transfers. But you could go that route. You could go just to require this. If you don't do at least this much this day, there could be a fine structure. But that's probably more complicated than we need to go that route. But they would do the same thing as what they're trying to do, just probably more complicated.
Well, and I thought the bond issue might address some of that, but I guess we can't go that road.
I think the point was it'd be more complicated to go that route. Again, same kind of. So basically, what they're looking at is they're worried about being overburdened and not being physically able to do the mandate. And so that's where we're at. So this is what they're proposing is a way of limiting multiple small transfers. And I this point, where I'm from, is this is what the experts came up with is their best option. You're my expert up here, so.
Well, I would add, I don't know if Jim addressed it or not, but we did address this issue at the, I don't know, several weeks ago at the Shellfish Advisory Committee, where there were several comments similar to the public comments we heard, you know, today. Concern not only with the fee, but the regulatory burden, I guess, that this would impose, the scheduling, potential schedule conflicts, things like that. So there was considerable discussion at SMAC over this issue and concern. I don't know that we actually passed a motion or had a vote or anything like that, but it probably consumed several hours of time, you know, during SMAC. So.
Well, the commission operates on motions.
Well, I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation, except for the fee.
So you be no fee for this?
Correct.
It's a motion by Mr. Erskine. Is there a second? Is there a second?
I would have a question for staff. Before I decide on that,
Mr. Ballard,
is that amenable to you? Do you think that'll alleviate a significant amount of the burden, or if you had to address the fee, or I guess the only other really thing you're asking for is the scheduling ability?
That's basically all you get out of it, is just a you'd be reversing where now law enforcement is on call for them. There would be set schedule. That would be the only change that would come out of that, and the application process will be a little bit better. I mean, lots of times the relaying pops up and we don't even know it's been approved or it's going on. So, we're trying to get some hold on just how much we found out the relaying is going on after it's already occurring. So, by getting the application process up front, we know more about it. We know whether the leases have been paid. That sometimes we found out that leases haven't been paid and things like that. So,
what would you rather have if we were to say we'll give you one of the two today? Which one would you rather have, the fee or the scheduling?
I mean, the application process and the scheduling are absolutely critical. I don't think we got that good of a grade from talking to the FDA person last week on what we were doing, and he was very happy that we were trying to get better controls on the relaying. So,
Ms. Erskine.
Jim, if I could ask, do you think the scheduling with law enforcement would be an effective or some degree of deterrent to the smaller operators that move?
No.
Okay.
No, they still would just schedule their few bushels that they're going to do.
Well, going back, we have a motion by Mr. Erskine to pass the regulation with the exception of the fee. So there was a motion by Mr. Erskine, and I'll call again for a second. Is there a second? Is there a second to Mr. Erskine's motion? Seeing none, the motion dies for lack of a second.
I move to approve the staff recommendation because I keep going back to this, but this scares me, and it should scare all the harvesters out there. If we don't get this right, I mean, we're going to cut off all of our oysters from going anywhere. And to me, that's a primary thing. And our staff is saying, here, look, we've met with these guys. They expect something out of us. And this is how he's showing a progress that Virginia is going to do to meet that federal regulations. And true, it may be a burden on some of the harvesters here, but we got to look at the big picture, and that's the whole industry. And if the staff's saying I need this, I think we ought to let them have it. And then if there's some issue that comes out of it, they can always come back to us. But I think this shows great progress, and it helps me feel more comfortable that we're going to have a shellfish industry in the next few years.
So that's a motion to accept staff recommendation. Does the motion include Mr. Hull's suggested amendment to add in the other revocation code section?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's a motion on the table by Mr. Zetra. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Deal. Is there further discussion? We'll call for the vote then. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
No by Mr. Erskine. The chair votes aye as well here, so the motion passes 5-1.